Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And who are you? Today we're talking about a lesson, Whose Name? Many things in today's world are named after people. Well, we're going to be learning about some of these things, but first I'm going to ask you, who are you named after, if anybody, and what does your name mean? Carolyn, would you like to begin?
Well, sure. My name is a German name, and it means noble, womanly, and something like spiritual thinking. And I was named after my grandmother.
Well, I'm sure your grandmother was a womanly, noble, spiritual thinker herself. Nathaniel, what about you? Who were you named after, or what does your name mean?
Well, I was named after a person in the Bible. So my name is Hebrew for gift of God.
All right. I was also named after someone in the Bible, an angel, Gabriel, who told Mary she would give birth to a son, Jesus. And Gabriel means one who stands in the presence of God. Or actually, another meaning I read was, God is my hero, and he is my hero. Let's get started with today's first reading, Whose Name?
Whose Name? People give their names to all kinds of things. Some people can never be forgotten. That's because their names become common words. As many as 50,000 words in the English language get their meaning from people's names. Some are real people. Others are characters in books or stories. Often a new dish is given the name of its inventor. The sandwich gets its name from the 4th Earl of Sandwich, John Montague, 1718 to 1792.
Hello, friends. This is your Word Lady, Ellen. What's in a name? In today's article, we'll explore how some well-known food and other things came to be named. But first, here are the key words for today. Inventor. Inventor is a noun. Who was the inventor of the telephone? Gambling. Gambling is a noun. Some people enjoy gambling, but they often lose a lot of money. Slice. Slice is a noun. Could you please give me a slice of that cake? Persuade. Persuade is a verb. John didn't want to go to the party, but Ben persuaded him. Your more information words are Earl. Earl is a noun. Tart. Tart is an adjective. Sounds like we're going to learn a lot of great information. Let's begin.
John Montague is the first person that we're talking about today in this article about people that give their names to all kinds of things. I think you're going to find it interesting. Carolyn, would you please read the first sentence of this article?
Certainly. It says, some people can never be forgotten. And there are a lot of people that we remember in history. Gabe, can you think of someone who is never forgotten?
Someone who is never forgotten. Well, of course, many people have influenced our societies today. People like politicians and, of course, celebrities that will never be forgotten. I think the Beatles are a music group, a band that will never be forgotten. Nathaniel, who's someone else that will never be forgotten?
Well, of course, many people in history will never be forgotten. And I think of Abraham Lincoln, maybe one of the most famous and well-known presidents of the United States. I don't think that he will ever be forgotten. And that's because their names become common words, words that we hear all the time. There are lots of examples of this, and that's what today's article is about, these kinds of examples. Now, how many words like this are there, Gabe?
Well, we read that as many as 50,000 words in the English language get their meaning from people's names. That is a lot of words that we're using that really just came from somebody who maybe invented something, or some things were named after these people, as many as 50,000 words.
That's quite a lot. And we see in the article that some of these people are real people, but others are characters in books or stories. So not all of these words in English are from real people's names.
That's true. Some of these could come from characters, fictional people that we find in books or maybe even movies that make a big impact on culture. Okay, continuing in the article, it says, often a new dish is given the name of its inventor. So a kind of food, a new kind of dish, could be named after the person that first made it. So the person that first made it, we could call that an inventor, right, Carolyn?
That's right. And we see that inventor is one of our key words for today. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And an inventor is someone who invents something. They make it for the very first time. Now, there are lots and lots of inventors out there. Gabe, can you give us an example?
Well, one famous inventor that does come to mind is Thomas Edison. He's known for inventing many things. And I think someone we learned about last month as well, someone who invented the paper bag. Do either of you remember what her name was?
Well, I do think that her name was Margaret E. Knight, and she made many other things, too. She was a very impressive inventor. Mm-hmm. I think that she made parts of factory machines as well. What kinds of things might you make if you were an inventor, Carolyn?
Well, you could make all sorts of things, and I would like to make something that is useful, something that people will use all the time. And I think Margaret E. Knight and Thomas Edison both made very useful inventions.
That's right. Well, I have a cousin, actually, who had the idea of inventing something that would help students not to lose face in class if ever they wanted to show that they didn't understand something. He would invent something that you could show the teacher if you didn't understand, but nobody else would know. He was very sensitive. So, of course, an inventor is someone who invents new things, makes new things that are usually very useful for people. But remember, if you want to invent something or you have an idea, remember to get a patent. You don't want someone else to steal your idea.
Okay, so an inventor could make a new machine or device, or maybe they come up with a new process of doing something, a new way of doing something, or even something like a game might have an inventor. Okay, continuing in the article, the next sentence says, the sandwich gets its name from the fourth Earl of Sandwich, John Montague, who lived from 1718 to 1792. If you see years like that in brackets, that means the lifetime of that person. Okay, so John Montague made the sandwich. How would you like to be known for making a sandwich, Carolyn?
Well, lots of people do enjoy eating sandwiches, mm-hmm. So that would probably be a very good thing to be named after. Everyone will certainly remember you.
It's true. So many people do enjoy eating sandwiches. We find out that John Montague was an earl, and this is a member of the nobility, someone who maybe would take care of an area when the king was away. I'm not exactly sure what John Montague's responsibilities were, but he had lots of responsibilities. And, of course, one thing he left us with was sandwiches.
That's right, and that's probably what he is most well known for. Okay, it's time to go over to the language lab and talk to Michelle.
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle. 今天的第一个重点我们来看第一小段的最后一句话里面的 character 这个名词。Character 在这里是指电影、戏剧或者是书中的角色或人物。例如 the actors who played the main characters in the musical were mainly from Britain. 饰演这部音乐剧主要角色的演员们大多是来自英国。 或者是 The star made his character lovable and charming. 这位明星把自己的角色演得既可爱又迷人。继续我们看的是 inventor 这个名词，我们看到这个字里面有 invent, I-N-V-E-N-T, 发明这个动词，所以加上 O-R 这个代表人的字尾， inventor 是指发明者。例如 the inventor of this computer software is only a college student, 这个电脑软体的发明者才只是一个大学生。另外一个相关的名词是 invention, 就是字尾加上 I-O-N,例如 The invention of Facebook created a new era. 脸书的发明开启了一个新的时代。
In our lesson called Whose Name, today we're learning about different things that were named after different people. Already we've talked about the Earl of Sandwich.John Montague, who lived a couple of centuries ago, and he invented something interesting. Or he didn't invent something, but we're going to find out what was named after him in this next part of our reading for today. We're going to find all about the sandwich and how it got its name.
Whose name?He spent long hours working or gambling and didn't wish to stop for a meal. He had his servants put meat between two slices of bread to eat while he worked. His friends began to ask for similar snacks, and the name sandwich came into common use. Granny Smith apples are named for Maria Ann Smith, a grandmother. Born into a farm family in 1799,Maria married Thomas Smith at 19. They were persuaded by the British government to move to Australia. On their farm near Sydney, they grew apple trees. Their special variety of tart apple became known as a Granny Smith.
So John Montague spent long hours working or gambling.And didn't wish to stop for a meal. He was working and gambling so much, or maybe he was so busy doing those things that he didn't want to stop. And that was the beginning of the sandwich. But we do have an important word that we want to look at in this sentence. This word is gambling. Gambling, this is a noun, but Gabe, what is gambling?
Well, gambling is when you use your money or something like that. It's very valuable. And you take a risk. You're not sure if you're going to make more or maybe you will lose some. And of course, many games involve gambling. Carolyn, how else might you see this word gambling?
Well, you can also say gamble. He likes to gamble or she likes to gamble. Or don't gamble with your life.Means don't take chances that could put you in danger. So you should always wear your seatbelt when you are in a car because you don't want to take a chance when you are in an accident. Don't gamble with your life.
Yes, and another phrase that we say sometimes is it's a gamble. It's kind of risky. Should we try to go see that movie? It's starting in 15 minutes. It's a gamble. I don't know if we're going to make it in time. Sometimes we use that phrase.And now we want to go over to the grammar gym to see what Liz has to tell us today.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the grammar gym. My name is Liz. And here's our grammar tip sentence. He spent long hours working or gambling and didn't wish to stop for a meal. Our focus today is on the sentence pattern. Someone spends long hours doing somethingand didn't wish to stop for a something else. Now, this is a great sentence pattern to use when you want to talk about how somebody is busy with an activity and doesn't want to stop to do something else. For example, the artist has spent hours working on his painting and doesn't wish to stop for a break. Or, Tom spent long hours writing his paper and didn't wish to stop for a snack.Now it's your turn. Can you think of an activity that someone spends a long time on, and it's an activity that he or she would rather not stop for anything else? If you have this month's magazine with you, be sure to check out today's grammar tip section for more example sentences. This is Liz from the Grammar Gym saying goodbye.
Thank you very much, Liz. I'm sure you spent long hours preparing that little lesson for us. Okay, let's move on in the article. Gabe, what does the next sentence say?
Well, we're finding out about John Montague here. He did not want to stop working or gambling, and so he had his servants put meat between two slices of bread to eat while he worked. Well, this is a very creative way to maybe invent a new kind of food. He didn't want to stop, and so he had his servants help him by putting meat between two slices of bread. Let's take a look at that word bank word there. It's the word slice. And a slice of something is a small sliver or a piece, a small piece of something. Carolyn, what kinds of things might you slice?
Well, you might have a slice of meat on your slice of bread to make your sandwich. You might also have a slice of cheese in that sandwich. And you can have something that's a little bit bigger. Those are usually very thin slices. But you could also have a slice of pie for dessert.
Okay, all right. There are different things that you could slice. Usually the word slice is kind of smaller. It implies cutting something into smaller pieces than just cut. You can cut a piece of paper. It's not a slice of paper. But you can have a slice of pie. You can have a slice of cheese, a slice of meat. How else could you use that word, Nathaniel?
Well, you could also slice a cake, but I want to remind you that you can also slice the cake. Slice can also be a verb, and when you're cutting something into pieces, slice the cake or a slice of cake. Okay, the next sentence now says, his friends began to ask for similar snacks, and the name sandwich came into common use. So we have this phrase, came into something. How can we use this phrase, Carolyn?
Well, in the article, we see that it came into common use, which means that people started or began to use it a lot, commonly. But you can also use it in many other ways. You can say that something came into view. As we went around the corner, the house came into view, so we were able to see the house.
All right. And you could also say something comes into existence or something comes into being. If something wasn't around before, but it comes into existence, now we see it. Now it is here. We can use it. You could also say something came into play. It wasn't being used before, but now it is being used. We're using it. We're playing with it. Now it's coming into play. It has a role. Something comes into play. Or as we see in today's lesson, something comes into common use, like the word sandwich. Well, I can see and understand why sandwiches are for busy people. If you don't have time to go to a restaurant and order a nice meal, you might want to just get a sandwich.
Okay, those are a lot of good examples of this phrase. Now, the next sentence in this article says, Granny Smith apples are named for Maria Ann Smith, a grandmother. So we're moving on to a new example of a food named after a person. Granny Smith apples. Okay, what does the next sentence say, Carolyn?
It says, born into a farm family in 1799, Maria married Thomas Smith at 19. So she was only 19 years old when she married Thomas Smith. Now, I think that Ken and Steve have a little more information for us over in the information cloud.
Hi, friends. What kind of family were you born into? If you live in the country, maybe you were born into a farm family. Or if your parents like music, maybe you were born into a musical family.
Notice the preposition. It should be into, not in.
That's right, Ken. The preposition in describes the location. You were born in a hospital, in a house, or maybe even in a taxi.
Oh, I hope not. Now, in can also describe a condition. Jonathan was born in poverty. But if you want to describe the kind of family you were in when you came to this world, then you should say born into.
Now, Ken, there's an interesting expression that describes people who were born into rich families. I'm sure you're familiar with the expression.
Do you mean people who were born with a silver spoon in their mouth?
That's right. Notice it's not a gold spoon, but a silver spoon. Because traditionally, silver spoons were given at birth to children in wealthy families.
若是你要表示某人出生于什么样的家庭，介系词要用 into. He was born into a musical family. 他出生音乐世家。今天的课文讲到这位 Maria Ann Smith, 他是 born into a farm family, 出生于一户农家。若是一个人出生于有钱人家，我们可以用一句惯用语来形容 born with a silver spoon in his mouth, 含着银汤匙出生。注意不是金汤匙。虽然我们中文常常说这家伙是含着金汤匙出生的，其实它的英文典故呢是银汤匙，因为在传统上，只要有钱人家喜获麟儿，亲朋好友就会送纯银的汤匙当做礼物。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Thank you, Steve and Ken. Again, you always give us some good information in the Info Cloud.Okay, the next sentence in the article says, they were persuaded by the British government to move to Australia. So we're talking, of course, about Maria Ann Smith and Thomas Smith. They were persuaded to go to Australia. Persuaded, this is a word we're going to talk about today. It's a word bank word. This word persuaded, what exactly does this mean, Gabe?
Well, this means you talk someone into doing something or to agreeing with you about something. For instance, I could say the vendor persuaded me to buy a bag of apples for a price. I didn't want to buy them at first, but she persuaded me to buy these apples. Carolyn, how could you use that word?
That's right. Well, persuade, you can also use to help someone make a good decision or a bad decision. Or if you think that they shouldn't do something, you can persuade them not to do it. So perhaps my mom persuaded me to not go to the movies and instead stay home and do my homework.
And we see that on their farm near Sydney, they grew apple trees. Their special variety or kind of tart apple became known as a Granny Smith. Those are very well-known apples today. And once again, it is time to see Michelle in the language lab.
好，接着我们来看的是 slice 这个名词。Slice 是指食物切下来的薄片，例如 I put some slices of ham on my sub. 我在我的潜水艇三明治里面放了几片火腿。Slice 也可以当动词，意思是将食物切成薄片。例如 ,you need a sharp knife to slice the roast beef. 你需要一把锐利的刀才能够切这个烤牛肉。最后我们来看的是 persuade 这个动词。persuade 是指说服、劝说或者是使相信。例如 ,Jonathan was persuaded to join this club by his friend. Jonathan 是因为朋友劝说参加了这个社团。或者是 It was the great benefits that persuaded Sean to accept the job offer. 优厚的福利让 Sean 接受了这份工作。And let's hear what our teachers have to say.
Well, it seems fun to have a kind of food named after you. So, Gabe, do you know of any foods like this named after someone you know?
Actually, Steve from the Information Cloud has a fried rice named after him. Usually it's made just vegetarian, but he likes to add meat. And when he tells them to make it with ham or bacon, then they call it Steve Fried Rice. So next time you see him, you can say, hey, how's that Steve Fried Rice? What about you, Carolyn?
Well, I think Steve Fried Rice sounds very interesting, but I would probably keep it vegetarian with berries and other fruits and wrap them all together and make kind of a sandwich, but a little different. And it would be the Carolyn.
Nice.
That sounds very good. Okay, so maybe you should have the Carolyn or Steve Fried Rice for dinner tonight, and we'll see you next time on Studio Classroom. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. Chapter 12. Injun Joe's Revenge.
There was good news for the boys and girls of St. Petersburg on Friday morning. Becky had at last got her mother to name the next day for the picnic that would start the summer holiday. It was a joyful company that gathered at Judge Thatcher's house the next morning. It was not the custom for older people to spoil picnics by being present. A few teachers, young ladies of 18 and young gentlemen of 23 from the Sunday school were going, and the children seemed safe with them. They were to go in the old steamboat, and soon the happy crowd were moving down the main street to the landing place. The last thing Mrs. Thatcher said to Becky was,
"It'll be late when you get back. Perhaps you ought to spend the night with one of the girls who live near the landing place."
"Then I'll stay with Susie Harper, Mother."
But on their way to the landing place, Tom said to Becky,
"Instead of going to Joe Harper's, let's climb up the hill and stop at Widow Douglas's. She'll have ice cream, and she'll be really glad to have us."
"Oh, that will be fun."
Then Becky thought for a moment.
"But what will my mother say?"
"Your mother won't know. So what's wrong with the idea? I expect she would have told you to go there if she'd thought of it."
The Widow Douglas's great kindness and ice cream won the argument, and they decided to say nothing to anybody about where they would go. 5 kilometers below St. Petersburg, the steamboat stopped at the mouth of a small stream and tied up. The crowd landed, and soon there was shouting and laughing as the children tried all the different ways of getting hot and tired. The picnic followed, and then a rest under the trees. Then somebody shouted,
"Who's ready for the cave?"
Everybody was. They took their candles and started to climb. The mouth of the cave was high up the hillside, an opening shaped like the letter A.